is that if, you know, we have lots of people that they are coming to the area, they have holiday homes or they're visiting and they're just like, oh, my God, I'd love to live here.
Yeah. And right, I go, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And I said, look, if I can run a high-end cake business in Smiths Lake, anyone can do anything.
Welcome to Convos, Stories That Connect, the Lifestyle Barrington Coast podcast where we dive into the heart of what makes this region so special. Through candid and inspiring conversations, we explore what draws people to this breathtaking part of the Mid-North Coast and what keeps them coming back. Our guests share their personal journeys, challenges and passions, offering a glimpse into the vibrant lifestyles that shape the Barrington Coast.
Hey there, conversationalists. Welcome back to the show. Good to have you joining us for another episode of Convos, the Stories That Connect. If you're like me and you've got a bit of a sweet tooth, today's episode is for you because we're joined by somebody who's been making fabulous cakes for more than 40 years. I'm having a look through her bio and she has worked in Sydney, London, Canada, with industry greats like Lorraine Godsmark from Rockpool, a name that we're probably all familiar with, Harvey Nichols in London and True Confections in Vancouver. So I think the title of Cake Queen is pretty well deserved. Nadine McChrystal Kavanagh, welcome to Convos.
Thank you for having me, Simon. I'm very excited to be here.
I've been really looking forward to this one because, as I might have alluded to, I am a bit of a sweet tooth, and you very, very generously gave us a bit of a sneak peek or taste of some of the goodies that you make, and they are absolutely divine. I think caramel slice is probably my favourite one so far. But tell me, with a resume like that, what's your "this is how I came to be on the Mid-Coast" story? How did you get here?
Well, I've been working in Sydney all my life, besides travelling around the world for quite a few years and then coming back and met my husband and, you know, then we have kids. And we decided there are a whole lot of things happening in Sydney that we just decided it was time to get out. Mm. And my dad had said, moving north is the best thing that you will ever do. And so we decided that we would do that. And we thought we'll come up and we'll rent because we've lived in a city all our lives. Mm-hmm. So how's it going to be regionally? And thought, well, we'll just rent and see. But it was good and we loved it. And we could access everything the boys needed, and I just went, I can work I've worked around the world, I can work anywhere and make it happen. So we did that, and I said, during COVID we sat on our veranda and looked at each other and just went, it's the best move we ever made.
Yeah.
And we love it. And I said, if you know, we have lots of people that they are coming to the area, they have holiday homes or they're visiting and they're just like, oh, my God, I'd love to live here.
Yeah, and right, I go, look, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And I said, look, if I can run a high-end cake business in Smiths Lake, anyone can do anything.
I think that's such an awesome point because, you know, the business that you've got is quite niche, isn't it? Like not everybody is looking for a high-end cake, and it's not something you can do online. Like you can't market your business to, you know, the mum in Perth who's got the first birthday for the baby. It's got to be local, and there's enough business in our area to support a high-end niche business like yours. There's no excuse, is there, really, for anybody to think, oh, I don't know what I can do. You can do anything here.
Well, absolutely. And so, like, I said we were lucky because the boys were really little, so we went to community playgroup. They're out in the Palms, and it was a thing where, like, someone would make treats to bring every week.
Yeah.
And I just love baking.
No.
I was like, can I bring something every week? Like, is that all right along with the other things? Because it was really big. There were lots of mums and kids coming, so we needed lots of treats. But it's like, would you mind if I just made something every week? And they're like, no, that's fine.
Is that a trick question?
They didn't know anything about me.
Right.
So, and then, like, after a couple of weeks, just going, who are you? And you're like, is this a hobby or your job? Or, you know, because I said I didn't have a job. I was like being a full-time mum when we first moved up.
Right.
And I said, oh, no, like this I've been, you know, started in 1985.
Wow.
Running a cake business out of mum and dad's kitchen in year 10.
Yeah.
So I go 40 years later. You know, I said I kind of, I was like, when you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could go, I did that, finished year 12, went and did pastry cooking apprenticeship, had four different jobs in 4 years because I just went, you can't teach me anymore. I have to go somewhere else. Like I was voracious.
Yeah.
And I just was like, when you work your way from being a first year apprentice to running the bakery, I was like, I have to go somewhere else because I shouldn't be doing this at a first-year apprentice level. I still need to be taught things. So I want to keep learning.
So I think a lot of people would have just kind of been really happy with the fact that they'd been promoted, that they were kind of, you know, running a bakery, but you're like, no, I'm not at this level yet. I need to learn more.
Yeah, like that's I said, and I still keep learning. You know, like every day, I said, there's so, the industry has evolved so much in 40 years. Like it's incredible. But I said, just being able to, you know, like I worked in a French restaurant and then a Danish bakery, patisserie.
Yeah.
And then I was also working at a like Australian bakery patisserie as well. And then I went to Rockpool with Lorraine Godsmark and Neil Perry, and that was life-changing. It's a whole other aspect to it, and, you know, like learning to do massive functions, you know, like MCA opened across the road and opening night was 1,000 people. There's no kitchen. There's chefs working on woks in a big concreted space.
Is that a buzz? Like, is it really stressful or is it a buzz or is it sort of little from column A, little from column B?
Well, yeah, like and just bring it all together and make the magic happen, right? Yeah. It's a whole lot of trusting in yourself and going like, we've done the work. Perform.
Yeah.
This is it.
That's it. Hey, it must be very similar to actors who are on stage who are like, okay, we've done the work, we've done the rehearsals, now it's go time.
Absolutely. And I go, and that's what a restaurant is too. Mm. You know, like we said, when so Vicky Harris and I used to have Toucan Restaurant in Manly. And so we'd both worked at Rockpool together and Harvey Nichols together in London.
Right.
And like Harvey Nichols was a, it was great. It's a, you know, 200-seater restaurant in there. And like that for me was, I had to come up with five different desserts every single day that I worked in there.
Right.
So and for 200 people.
Wow.
Where I was just going, that's mind blowing.
Yeah, it is.
And to go, like, you got your recipe book and, you know, and you weren't allowed to repeat the same dessert once in the same week.
Oh.
So it had to be
so completely literally five different. Different desserts.
Yeah, every day for 5 days a week.
Wow.
In there. So you could repeat some each week, but you could not have the same menu every week.
That's just insane. Where does that creativity come from?
Within. Okay. Where that is, like, connect to source and give me the download, please.
So, but like serious question, is there a process that you go through in order to, you know, get that inspiration and come up with that creativity? Or is it literally just, I wonder what I'm going to do today? And then, you know, the lightning bolt hopefully strikes.
Well, so let's use the Great Lakes Food Trail as an example.
Let's bring it back to local. I like it.
Yeah. So, like, all this brings it back to here. Mm. And going, so with the food trail events, so we would have open days on farms when we first started.
Yeah.
With it, but because of like biosecurity reasons, farms aren't really open to the general public, like, at the moment. So we started doing the real food market on the first Saturday of every month out at the Palms Community Centre. And we've also been doing dinners or lunches with Chef Sarah, local caterer.
Yeah.
So the whole thing with the food trail is it has to use local produce.
Love that.
So I contact the farmers that I have in the area and I'm like, what do you have? And they're like, come out and have a look.
Yeah.
So it's adventure days. Out to the farms, having a look, chatting with the farmer, getting their produce, taking it all back, got a bench full of produce, and then go, what am I going to make with this?
Right. So it's kind of like flipping what we would often think the creative process is. It's not coming up with, like, this is what I'm going to make. Now I go and get what I need.
No.
It's like, what have I got? What beautiful local fresh produce have I got? Cool. What can I make with that?
And it's all the weird and the wonderful.
Yeah.
Some stuff I'd never even heard of.
Right.
I went, what do I do with that? I go, okay, let me do a quick bit of research and go, how can you use it? And then go, right, now I know how I could use it, what will I make with it? And think, right, well, that would go together. So I start dividing it up into different things and go, how many different things am I going to make with it? Or like layers in the cake, what's going to go in that? And then I do literally go, universe, bring it on.
It sounds like, it doesn't sound like work. This sounds like fun more than work.
It is.
You must
fun.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah. Like you go, it's, you know, some days are really long trying to get it all done because it is only me. People are really surprised. They think I have a team, but I go, no, it is literally just only you. Me. Yeah. So it's the, you know, the going to the farms or the shopping.
Yeah.
It's the making of everything. It's all the washing up. Although my boys do get roped into that.
That's cool. You need dish hands somewhere.
I know, please come and help your mum.
Yeah, that's only going to work for so long. So, oh my goodness, so much to unpack in what we've just spoken about already. But you know, you mentioned the food trail, and you mentioned some local markets. As a local person now, and a foodie, what are some of your favourite, you know, either local venues or local markets or local events that we can go to and that visitors to the area can go to experience some of the produce that does come out of our region?
Oh, so, yeah, well, definitely anything, like subscribe to the Great Lakes Food Trail newsletter for anything we've got going on with that, because we'll have different events all over the place, so we're just in planning mode at the moment.
Yeah.
And then, but some of my...
So, sorry, if people just Google Great Lakes Food Trail, they'll find that. And also we'll put links in the show notes too.
Thank you.
Sorry, keep going. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, if Chris and I are treating ourselves, we're going out, we do like to go to Dragon's Den and Spice Monkey.
Yeah,
really delicious. And then... the Good Food Store out at Smith's Lake is our second home.
Yeah.
I said it's one of the places that I also supply with delicious cakes and desserts out there. And we have a really good range of things there that cover like lifestyle choices and specialty diet things as well, like gluten-free, dairy-free, refined sugar-free, egg-free, vegan.
Yeah. You made us a beautiful vegan cake, which was fabulous.
Thank you. So, yeah, and full of local produce in that. And, yeah, Country Palings Petals and Pots Cafe out at Greenpoint has been my main place for people to go to. And they are closing forever on Sunday the 4th of May.
Right. So if you haven't been out there before, then it's time to get out there.
You got 3 weeks to go.
You got 3 weeks to go.
It is keeping me very busy.
I bet they are. So you've done so many different things. Did you always know that you wanted to run your own business, or was that just something that kind of evolved as you went along?
I think when you run a business at 15, you're always destined to run your own business. So, I loved all the jobs that I had. But then also, like when we moved up, Chris was like, when are you going to get a job? I went, like, but you work away a lot. And I went, I just can't be that mum that goes to work and you've got no backup. Like, we didn't really know anyone.
Yeah.
And I've got no backup. And so I went, but what if my kids are sick and I have to leave? Like, if I'm working in a cafe and I have to leave at lunchtime because my kids are sick and I have to go and get them.
Yeah.
And I went, I just can't do that.
And don't want to do that. Like, you want to be present while your kids are growing up.
That's right. So, I said after, like, you know, making cakes at playgroup.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I had Single Fin Cafe coffee opened up at Seal Rocks, and Carly asked me if I'd supply them.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's when Nadine the Cake Queen was born.
Yeah.
So, because okay. I was like, oh, hang on, it's turning from a hobby into a business here.
Yeah.
Let's get organised with that. And I said, I was like, well, Vicky used to always call me Nadine the Dessert Queen.
Yeah.
So I went, hang on, we've just got to shorten that. And I went, what about Nadine the Cake Queen? So I thought, I'll just Google Nadine the Cake Queen and see if there's any other businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But my Facebook profile actually came up. So I went, well, I guess that's destined to
that's
be.
Fate.
Well,
yeah,
let's,
for sure.
Let's put that in, shall we?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I love things that kind of grow organically. Like that, you know, things that people don't have to force. I always look at things from a marketing point of view.
Mm.
You know, things that people haven't had to force or artificially create. They've just organically grown out of something that you love and that you're passionate about, and it doesn't really feel like work when it happens that way.
No, that's right. Like I said, it only feels like work at the end of a really long week.
Yeah.
And then I've got the last sort of washing up to do.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like, it's really fun. It's a really fun and rewarding job. So, I was going to do law.
Wow, that's different from cakes.
I know, but I just, like, I did. So in year 10, like, everyone does work experience.
Mm,
so yeah. I had a week at Sweet Art in Paddington with Anthea Leonard doing sculpted cakes there. And I said the funniest thing was, like, they take you down into the basement and you have to cover cake boards.
Right.
So for the first Monday morning. So I was just like, right, and they do that, and they show you, and then you do it, and then you come up and they go, you can go to lunch now. I went, okay. So I went to lunch and I came back, and everyone just looked at me when I walked back in the door. I went, what are you all staring at?
Yeah.
You. And I went, why? Like, you're the first work experience person to ever come back.
People go to lunch and they just take off.
Yeah, yeah, and they go. But I said, well, like, my life motto is it's all about a good foundation. And you go, if your cake board's not stable, how's the rest of your cake going to work? Like, you go, it has to have a good foundation. And so then I got to do sculpted cakes all week with Anthea and the team. Went, oh, my God, I love this.
Yeah, right.
And then I had a week in a solicitor's office where everything was shades of grey, and I went, oh, I'm never working in an office.
I love this.
Not ever. And I have not.
Yeah, they're poles apart, aren't they?
I just was like, you know, and I still have that lawyer in me. Like, I love a good bit of advocacy.
Yeah.
Fighting for different things along the way.
And it's where your research skills probably come from as well.
Absolutely. Love a bit of research. And I also love it when my customers do a bit of research as well. So I go, there's a couple of things I ask of customers. And they go, one is to have a bit of a look around before contacting any business, really, because no one likes quoting, right?
Yeah. It's not the fun part.
It's not. It's necessary for the joy to happen.
Mm.
But go, it's time consuming, you know, like taking all that information in. And when you don't get the cake after doing all the quoting,
could have spent that time making something.
I know, doing something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so like, this is how the cake consult system came into being.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because when you're creating something, I guess that's really high end, it's got to be specific to what your customer's looking for, and, you know, hopefully they've got a very clear vision, at least some vision, of what it is that they want. And you're very collaborative in the way you go about putting that together, aren't you? So tell us a little bit about how that works.
Except it is always a collaboration. So you go, like, you would like a very special occasion cake with it. So that's then my job to listen to you to tell me what it is that you like thinking your cake dreams are going to look like and interpreting that to then create it. But, so it's great. People love the consult system.
Mm-hmm.
So we get on and they tell me how much they love it, because there's a questionnaire that's with it, and it has by filling that in honestly, that then makes it easier for me to help bring cake dreams to life.
Yeah.
It makes it all work, and we meet in a Google Meet.
Yeah.
And then I get all that in, and And then I can see it all, and then I can give some different quotes.
Yeah. So, So this is very different to wandering down to, you know, I don't know, Michelle's Patisserie or something and saying, I'll have that one. Like everything's kind of custom built, isn't
everything
it?
Everything is.
For whatever's the occasion, or if somebody's got, you know, a particular hobby, you can build something for them around that. Like this is real custom cake building, isn't it?
It is. And I said, like, the one, my favourite question is, how much are you looking to spend?
Yep.
Because they go, please be honest with that. Because I went, I completely understand that, you know, you may not have a lot of money to spend, but you may be thinking that, like, your cake dreams are enormous and you've got this tiny budget.
Yeah.
Well, they're never going to meet.
Mm.
But there's lots of space where we can collaborate to come up with something for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like it's a bit of compromise, a lot of collaboration, and we can make the magic happen.
So is there one particular cake that you've done, maybe, you know, whatever it was, a wedding, a special occasion, something like that, that really stands out in your mind as something that was unique but also something that was really fun for you to create?
So I have this awesome local customer, and I love it when she orders cakes. Mm-hmm. And for her daughter's birthday, we made the Mad Hatter's hat.
Oh, how cool.
So she had a steampunk Mad Hatter's birthday party, and the whole house was decorated in for the, like, Wonderland.
Yeah.
And I turn up with the cake, and it just blew people's minds with it. So I wrote a blog about it on my website so people can see it.
Yeah.
But everyone thought it was real. Like, Beck actually had to put a sign, like, please do not touch the cake. Because they wanted to pick it up and put it on their head.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was great. And it also tasted delicious.
Very important, I would think.
It is. Mm. So I said I've had some conversations with different venue managers around the place, and they say that a lot of the structurally amazing cakes are actually very dry and people don't eat it. And then cakes that don't look so good are delicious with it. But she's like, yours are, you know, because they look amazing, but they taste even better. And I was like, that's what it's all about, right? It's the whole package.
It's the whole experience. And so I'm actually really surprised to hear that, you know, that some of those cakes, those fabulous looking cakes that we see on, remember there was like this whole period where there were these TV programs about, you know, fabulous cakes and things like that, Cake Boss or whatever it was called, that they're not made first and foremost with the eating experience in mind. We want them to look great, obviously, but then we want to eat them.
I know. And see, some of those shows, like, people, like, they want anything and everything in cake, but then you have to transport it. See, they don't transport it on those shows, right? Mm. They just move it from here to you. And it has to travel that far with it. But, yeah, like, there's a lot of internal structural support for, like, the taller, the crazier your cake is.
Yeah.
Needs support. And, the cake has to be, you know, things like that. A mud cake is good for things like that.
Right. Because really heavy, dense.
Yes. So, like, those cakes will always be denser because they just have to be able to hold it all together. For it, but I get a lot, oh, your cakes aren't sweet. I go, no, because I like it balanced, but I also don't use sugar syrup to soak the cakes. Like, I think the cake should be moist enough within the cake itself. And the other thing, everything is fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I make is fresh to the customer as well. So some businesses, they pre-make their cakes and they freeze them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put them together and send them out. But I'd always make it fresh because then if there's anything left over, then the customer can, like, you can cut and wrap and portion that and freeze it. There's nothing wrong with freezing cake. Yeah, but you can't freeze cake twice.
Yeah.
You can only freeze it once. Yeah. So if you're thinking, like, some people order extra cake so that they have it for later on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it has to be fresh to the customer.
Mm. That's that's really interesting about only being able to freeze cake once, because we never think about that.
Mm.
And I bet people never think to ask when they get their cake, is this fresh or has it been frozen? Because, yeah, if you have a big event and you've got tons of leftover, then the natural thing is to freeze some of it for later on.
That's right. Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, if it's been frozen, you cannot do that. You just have to throw it out.
So there you go. Hot tip, everybody. You can only freeze your cake once. So if you're buying cake from someone other than Nadine, why would you? Then make sure you ask that question, is this fresh?
Indeed.
So Nadine, tell us a bit about some of the other things that you make, because it's not just cakes, is it?
No, I love desserts as well. Love them. I love dessert in a slice, so different layers and flavours in there that you have in one slice of cake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's which is something I learnt with Lorraine Godsmark.
Yeah.
And bringing all that together. And, yeah, but I said I love little treats. So I do dessert tables.
Okay, yep.
So and I think having little treats on a dessert table is good, because I'm the type of person that if I see a dessert table, eye all that over,
yeah,
and go, I'd rather have like three little treats to try than one big dessert thing off dessert bar. Yeah. So say to people, we have ways of doing it. So they look really luscious and inviting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you don't have to have the same amount of every item. So people might have 100, say having 100 guests with it. So I said we usually allow 2 to 3 pieces per person when they're little.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have 100 of three different things. You can have 50, 50, 30, 60, something, because not everybody likes the same things either.
Right.
So you can have more items with less of those items, but everyone still ends up with three of something.
Yeah.
Three different things.
And those little things, they look so inviting, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Like just a little morsel, a little mouthful, and it lets you have, I guess, a sample of a whole bunch of different things, different tastes, different textures.
I said I do it at the Pacific Palms Art Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been running, I think it's 5 or 6 years we've been doing that now, and unfortunately it's not on this June long weekend, but hopefully next year it will be on.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the art festival opening night, and we have the edible art section for dessert as part of the ticket price, because I went to enter the art festival, but the rules are really strict, so we can't enter food. It has to actually be non-edible art. So then I went, well, let's have the edible art section.
Totally.
Yeah. So we said, like, we have little treats, and I make a cake to cut as well, like to just showcase how edible art can be, and people, I have to limit everyone to go, you can have your three now, but I come back once everyone's had something.
Yeah, for sure. You can't have people missing out on something as good as
that. No, that's right.
Yeah. You mentioned that one of the things you encourage people to do is to do a bit of research and look around a little bit before they reach out to somebody. What are the kind of things, if, say, for example, I was planning an event, what are the kind of things that I should be thinking about prior to, contacting you or submitting a form to you to get a quote? Yeah, what do I need to think about?
Yeah, so things are, how many guests are you going to have, and what is your budget for your event and all the different aspects within it as well. And said for cake in particular, we talk about like the type of food that you'll be having and the amount of it. And then, would you just like a small piece of cake for everybody or through to a larger size? Like generally at weddings, we have smaller pieces of cake now.
Mm-hmm.
The serves have actually come down in size like within the last 40 years.
Yeah.
But for a birthday party, you might have a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
There. And then other bigger functions, book well in advance for everybody that you want. So even if you're touching base and paying your deposit and then you finalise details later, because especially in our area, places book out fast, as do suppliers. There's a lot of quality suppliers in our area in every aspect of organising a function.
Yeah.
Too. So, yeah, you need to get in, get your date paid, pay your deposit for it, and then you can work out the details later.
Yeah, I think that's such great advice because we often think about, you know, the venue. We think well in advance for booking the venue, especially if we're talking about weddings or something like that. Maybe the photographer, but then often catering, if it's not at a restaurant, cake is a bit of an afterthought. And just, I don't know if this is a really hard question to ask, but if we're talking about a reasonably complex cake, how many hours is involved in making something like that?
That's it. I actually had some wedding cakes on and I was like, oh, I only have like this one cake, so I'm going to time everything that it is in it. And I was like, and I had it on two occasions and it was 11 hours.
Right. Wow. For one cake.
Yeah.
That's right. So if you wanted to, I guess, have life as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, work, I don't know, a 38 or a 40-hour week, realistically you could do a tops of four cakes in a week and that's not doing anything else.
That's right.
Yeah.
But my life is pretty crazy.
Life's not like that, I understand. But so for people out there listening, like you're not standing in the kitchen pumping out 10 cakes a day. Like these are real custom, you know, one-off pieces that take time to put together.
Yes, we said those are. So like when it comes up to, because most cakes are for Saturday.
Of course they are.
Right? So when, fortunately, like weddings are now, they can pretty much be any day during the week, but most cakes are for Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it is, I have to logistically think about what I can fit in my fridge.
Yeah, right.
Too, with how big is everything, what's going on with it. It's the logistical planning behind the scenes to go, if I've already got three amazing cakes to make this week, can I fit that fourth one in or do I say no?
Yeah.
Because it's just, it puts something with the other three at risk for it because it's the, and any like short notice cake, like I said, if it's super easy and I've already got things going on that I can fit that in, then I might say yes.
Yeah.
But if I am like, I'm already at capacity, and if I do one more thing, something's going to fall over.
Yeah.
No.
And you just can't risk that.
No, because like the customers that I have, you know, they're trusting me with their creations and they deserve my full time and attention.
100%. Absolutely. And that's the case with anything, you know, that you're doing, whether it's a high-end cake for a special event or, you know, something smaller than that, then, you know, customers who are paying hard-earned money deserve 100%.
Absolutely.
Always.
And I said, like every, you know, every cake has their time with me.
Yep.
So you go, it's like you're getting all the baking done and getting all that organised and having it there. And then I'm just like, right, and now it's decorating.
Yeah. You might know them intimately by the time they're finished. You know, feel like sending a child off out into the world or something. And so what about, you mentioned different dietary requirements and food allergies and things like that. What sort of changes have you seen in that space in like 40 years of working in this industry?
There are so many. Like there used to be none. You know, like really, I said, like my brother and I have been lactose intolerant since we were little.
Mm.
But really that was the only thing that was ever anything.
Yeah.
You know, you could still take nuts to preschool, like to primary school when I was little.
Yeah, not now. But
not now, no. So, yeah, it's a whole lot of things. So that was a whole other market. But really, like we went gluten-free, dairy-free, refined sugar-free at home with the boys because they just seemed to have so many reactions to different things. So I was like, well, I'm just going to make cakes like this. And then, yeah, vegan really came to the forefront as a whole new way. So that took a bit of research to...
I bet it did.
..work that out because I'm like, you can't just take eggs out of a cake. I go, except with hummingbird cake. That worked because I made a mistake one day. And I went, oh, my goodness, that's still delicious.
But who knew?
I know. But anything else, I went, oh, no, it's another way of thinking about it. Yeah, so it was like working all of that out. And then, you know, but when you've got one great recipe, you can morph it into things So, like, that's what I do is I go, I get one great recipe that I know works, and then I start changing it to do other things with it. And I just went, oh, I think that will work like that. I go, yes, and I go, connect with the universe again.
Again, that's that creativity, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But it's really fun, and I think, like, it was also, it's that training at Harvey Nicks, you know, 5 different desserts for 200 people every day. Just bring it on. Like, I've got to make this happen. So be in the zone and make it happen.
So I wanted to ask you that earlier, and then we kind of went off on a tangent. Some of those environments that you've worked in, you know, those big kitchens, or, you know, whether the kitchens were big or not, but those big numbers of people, that really high intensity environment that you've worked in with chefs and presumably kitchen hands and, you know, 1,000 people that you need to get served. Now it's just you. How does that compare? How does kind of being on your own and working solo so much of the time compare with being in that really buzzy, hyped up environment?
Well, it's much more relaxing because I do things at my own pace, mm-hmm. and I've got a multitude of different things happening every day as well. Like I said, for this week, I have to update pricing on cakes and dessert tables, and I've got OT reports to do for the boys, and I'm baking cakes, and I've got this and that going on, and organising a million things. I come back to baking the cakes. Get it all done. So I was like, but I go, it's all right. Like, I've got, there's 24 hours in a day. I'll just work as many of those as need be.
Yeah.
But... so I think people are surprised when I say, you know, I get up at 5 in the morning to I get as much done as I possibly can before 9 o'clock when all hell breaks loose with anything else that can happen with it. And, go to bed around 11 o'clock or midnight.
Yeah, right, to grab those few hours of precious sleep.
Yes.
There's a bit of a TikTok trend that's been going on called my 5 to 9 before my 9 to 5.
Yes.
And it's, and I don't know if you've seen it. And it's people kind of showing, you know, this is what happens, you know, I'm up at 5 and I've got this whole kind of day that I squeeze in before my day actually starts. And it's really interesting, you know, to see people going to the gym or doing whatever it is that they do or getting some work in before they've got family commitments. And I think we're such, you know, lives are so busy now, and especially for a solo entrepreneur, like there's no one coming to save you. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. So you've just got to get it done, haven't you?
Well, that's exactly right. I said I delivered to Country Palings this morning, and I said my delivery fee is a coffee and a chat with Ken. I'll miss those. Ken, I will. But we were talking about this, right, where you go, like, you're expected to be an expert in every aspect of your business with it. And I go, like, you're doing the accounting and you're running everything and buying the stuff and trying to stay on top of everything.
Doing the compliance and everything. Yeah, and like amongst everything. That, you've got to make cakes.
Indeed.
Who's got time for that?
And sometimes I ignore the things. And some, you know, I've got a customer I'm quoting a cake for at the moment, and I just was like, I'm so sorry. Like, thank you for your patience with just trying to get this done. And he went, we've been out to Country Palings. We understand.
Yeah, we get it. It's so nice working with people who understand, isn't it?
It is. And I said, like, that's the, you know, like, come in and be honest, right? Or if you're like, you've got to be on a deadline with something, then, like, tell me that. I go, I can work with that too.
So what's exciting? What's coming up for you that's new and exciting?
Well, new and exciting is that after 9 years with Country Palings, I will have space for some new things once they close too. So I was like, I've got amazing cakes in the works, but also I've been asked for years to write a recipe book. So I'm actually going to spend some time doing that and writing up recipes so other people can understand them except me. So I'll be doing that and... looking at a whole lot of other different things, which I think would also, like, I'd really like to start doing some other consultancy work and, you know, helping other creatives with, like, supporting them in different ways.
So, okay, so others who want to get into the industry that you're in or who maybe have similar businesses who haven't potentially have the success that you've yes. had, helping them level up their game a bit. What about potentially, you know, just people who at home want to make their own cake, maybe they've got your cookbook or your recipe book once that's launched, yep. doing some little classes for people like that as well.
Yes, I have had requests for that as well.
You have.
And I said I've had some different ideas along the years of what is possible mm-hmm. with it. But so like when you're baking cakes all the time, it's really hard to do the other things.
Yeah.
Like that. So I said, like, it's, you know, our match made in heaven is coming to a close, but I am well and truly open to new possibilities and adventures.
Yeah.
And collaborations because I love it.
Yeah. So it's a case of one door closes and another one opens, isn't it? You know, you're creating space for the universe to, without getting too woo-woo,
yeah.
For the universe to bring the next exciting thing for you.
Well, absolutely, because like behind the scenes I could do, I love everything, energy, medicine,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do with that as well. And I've over the years like worked with Kate Darnell and we developed Sacred Soul System as a 9-week course for mm-hmm. people to come into to like discover more of their self-worth
mm-hmm.
too. So like, it's a long, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes at the yeah. Dean the Cake Queen that people don't know about.
So complex.
But I said, but I just love it. Like I love all of that. And, you know, like I said, like I'm 55 now, so there's a whole other world out there
100%,
where I said yeah. I'm not actually baking cakes for, you know, 20 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you could bake a cake for someone special, anybody in the world, who would that be and why?
I know. I said Elle had sent me this question to have a look at and I went, I couldn't think of anyone like that because I actually think that, like, every person and their cake is so special. And I said, like, if you are happy to collaborate with me, then, like, I just really look forward to making those cake dreams come true.
I love that. So egalitarian. Like, everybody's important. Everybody's worthy of something really special.
Yeah, is. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I just really, I think that that's it. And as I said, when you work as an apprentice and then when you come out, like, you're fully qualified, and you have to make a decision because, like, being an apprentice is all about doing competitions and, you know, being involved in different things like that and showing how great you are and you know, all of that. And yeah. I said I came out of that and I won just about every award I could possibly win mm-hmm. over 4 years and got Apprentice of the Year. And at the end I got, like, Best Overall Apprentice and I got handed a ship's wheel.
Wow.
And I still wonder what I'm supposed to do with that to this day. And I said, I came home and showed Dad and he went, I won this today.
So it wasn't a spatula or anything like that. It was a ship's wheel.
And he's like steering you in the right direction. And I went, we'll leave it with
Let's
that, shall
with
we?
That.
So I was just like, oh, my goodness. But, like, you make a decision. You, like, do you want to continue to do competitions? Or do you want to, like, make cakes and have that be the, like, rewarding experience that it is? And I was like, I'd had enough of competition. I just really love to, like, you know, be in that rewarding experience yeah. of having a collaboration with someone and, you know, creating something really special that, because it's all about creating memories that mm-hmm. are forever. You know, it's like looking back on your wedding cake, like wedding photos
yep.
and remembering all the different aspects to that every anniversary with that. And I go, like, cake is the last thing you enjoy at a function, right? Mm. It's the last thing you eat. So it can literally make or break your event. So we went, if your cake is terrible, that's what people talk about.
That's right? What they'll remember.
Yeah, but I go, but if your cake is this delicious creation that just brings back memories every time you think about it. Like I said, I call it creating memories for all the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That.
And people, I still have brides, like they get to their anniversaries and they send me a message and they put up a photo of their cake on social media and they go, I still think about how delicious that was. I go, that makes it for me. Like that's the award.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's such a good point because we talk about first impressions counting, but it's that last thing that leaves an impression, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as people, I guess, have that last bit of cake or they walk out and they've got that little bit of cake in their napkin yep. and they sort of munch it in the car on the way home.
Yep.
And they're the memories that stick with us, those little fun things, aren't they?
It is because, like, taste has such a part, like it's such a memorable thing within us when you taste something.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Music, I think, is one, but taste definitely. You know, when you shut your eyes and you think about special times in your life, mm-hmm. there's music and then there's flavours and tastes and smells that really bring it all back. They yeah. trigger those memories.
That's it. When Chris had organised my 50th birthday at the Good Food Store and Nick had made this pâté with cornichons and I ate it and I just went, that's from Ond. And I was like, how is that from Ond? And I was just like, but how is that pâté from Ond? And Nick's like, oh, well, it's like that's my recipe, but I worked with Leif and I was at Ond Zane and I just was like, how have we not ever met before? But yeah. I just went, I've not had that in like 20 years. But I went, I just knew.
Instantly it came back.
I knew it was it.
Yeah.
And I just went, that's amazing, right? But I go, but that's what food does.
Taste is such a powerful sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've talked about, you know, creating space for some new and exciting things and told us what some of those are. But will you still be making cakes, do you think, in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Is it just in your blood so much that you'll never stop?
I think so. I think it'll just have it'll morph into something new, you know, like things keep evolving.
Yeah.
So I say like I said definitely over the next 5 years I've just updated my business name and my website for all these 5 year specials and I went, well, there you go.
That's the next 5 years.
That's definitely the next 5 years for me.
Yeah.
You know, I said like, yeah, just having a bit more space to work on some different projects and see what else is out there because I go, it is exhausting
for sure.
When making a lot of cake.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just would, yeah, just open to new possibilities and see what comes along.
Exciting times ahead.
Yeah, it is.
Nadine, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing everything with us. If people want to follow along your journey or if they're thinking that they've got something coming up and maybe they'd like a really special cake, how do they find you and how do they follow along with your journey?
I said I always tell new people to follow along on social media. So it's Nadine the Cake Queen on Facebook and Instagram. And then when you're ready to order your very special occasion cake, you can head over to thecakequeen.com.au.
Fantastic. And we'll make sure that all the links are in the show notes as well. Nadine, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you. Thanks for joining us on Convos.
Thank you, Simon. I've had a lot of fun.
Hey, everybody. So that's Nadine, the Cake Queen. Don't forget, check out her socials, follow along, have a look at the website if you are thinking about a cake, and we'll see all of you on the next episode of Convos.
You've been listening to Convos, the Lifestyle Barrington Coast podcast. If you love this chat, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. And if you know somebody we should be talking to on Convos, hit us up on our Facebook page, Lifestyle Barrington Coast.